Welcome to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar, broadcasting from my home studio. Election Day 2020 is now history. Or is it? The day itself is over, but there still are votes to be counted and races decided, including the most significant one, President of the United States. Right now, races have not been called in seven states, including Pennsylvania. Who wins the presidency more than likely will come down to Pennsylvania and its 20 electoral votes. As of right now, President Trump leads Joe Biden by about 600,000 votes in Pennsylvania. However, there are more than a million mail-in ballots to be counted. Trump has already claimed victory and said falsely that the votes that haven't been counted are signs of cheating. The president said he would go to the Supreme Court to stop it. Much of this was expected, but there were some surprises yesterday as well. Of what's being counted and tallied so far, Joe Biden has 237 electoral votes compared to 213 for President Trump. 270 is the number needed to elect. To sort this all out today and talk about yesterday's election results, Franklin and Marshall College political analyst and pollster Dr. G. Terry Madonna joins us. Dr. Madonna, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Scott.
We'd like to hear from you today. If you have a question or a comment in particular, and what you think about yesterday's results and the lack of results, of at least finality, from yesterday in the presidential race, we'd like to hear from you. 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. On Twitter, we are at smarttalk. WITF. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. Big picture question, Terry, your thoughts on yesterday?
Well, I mean, I think we knew that we wouldn't know the results yesterday because of the huge number of mail-in ballots that had to be counted, and states had different processes for doing that. And it's going to come down now to several states. Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Georgia would be among the most important. But you also have North Carolina, you have Nevada, and we're just going to have to wait until all the mail-ins are counted. Right now, Joe Biden has a larger lead in the states that have been decided in the Electoral College, but we're just going to have to wait and see. It's still one of the situations in Pennsylvania where Biden trails Trump by about 11 percentage points. Of course, that could have changed in the last 5 minutes.
That's right. That's right.
As you know, and there are about 1.4 million votes to be tabulated. I think to win Pennsylvania, Biden would have to get about 700,000 of those 1.4, perhaps even a little more. And, you know, and they're still out in places like Philadelphia and Allegheny County, meaning the votes have not been tallied, and in some of the suburbs. But I think what's surprising is the degree to which, at the moment, Trump leads in the heartland of our state and out in the Rust Belt counties that he carried for years ago. Not by narrow margins, Scott, but by pretty substantial percentages. The second point is, look at the number, look at the straight party ballots that had to be cast. So that as we speak right now, for example, the three row officers on the Democratic side, Attorney General, Auditor General, and State Treasurer, are running within a couple of points of how Joe Biden's doing, if you get my point. So, and they are losing right now. Again, too many mail-ins haven't been counted, but the number of straight party ballots is really quite, I was going to say remarkable, but maybe it's not given the polarization. You and I have talked about that before.
Well, and that's one of the things that was striking yesterday, especially last night as the votes were coming in, that Republicans seem to be doing very, very well across Pennsylvania. And that's what you're talking about, is that even though for this election there was not a box you could check for straight party voting, that there were many people in the mostly the rural areas of Pennsylvania that voted straight Republican.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And I think that was underestimated. Certainly the percentage, and I'll put it this way, that Trump leads now. But in many of those rural counties, as you accurately point out, if Trump wins the state, it's because his percentages remained, compared to 2016, quite high in those counties. And that's absolutely quite remarkable. And it's the suburbs and the cities versus the rural and small towns in our state. But Trump did overperform in those areas. There's no doubt about that.
Let's take a phone call from Richard in Carlisle. Richard, you're on the air.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I have a couple of just really number-crunching questions. What is Trump's lead at the moment in terms of popular votes? How many votes are outstanding to be counted from absentees and mail-ins? And how many of those do you think Biden needs in order to win? And who do you think will win?
Well, Terry, he kind of counted a lot there. Now, you did mention some of those numbers,
They're important questions. Now, I looked about an hour ago, so these numbers could change, as I think everybody knows. But Trump had an 11-point lead in Pennsylvania. The last number I saw was Biden at about 2.1 million and Trump about 2.8 million. And it looks like the last time I checked, there were about 1.4 million uncounted votes that, you know, the election officials have until Friday to get that tally. And we may not know for several days which candidate wins Pennsylvania. And right now, there's no point making a prediction because Trump does have a pretty sizable lead. And in order to get Pennsylvania's 20 electoral votes, Biden is going to have, as I pointed out a moment ago, get a substantial share of the remaining uncounted votes. So the horse race, as they say, is still on. And we got these number of states, as I indicated earlier, and Scott started out, that matter, in which we're still having the mail-ins counted. And, it could be a couple of days until we get some, definitive answers out of those states as well.
This is a situation Pennsylvania has really never been in before, Terry, because of the mail-in ballots, and this being the first presidential election where widespread mail-in balloting was able to be done. 600,000 votes sounds like a lot of votes to overcome.
Oh, it is. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, that's, again, you have to look at the ratio within the uncounted mail-ins that each of the, what's the ratio between Trump and Biden? And there's no doubt that we know Biden's going to win the mail-ins, but what we don't know is what the percentage will be, and that is absolutely critical. The other point is, given how close the state will get, and it will really tighten, we'll have to see if, there's court challenges to it. The Trump campaign, and Trump has vowed to go to court. He says go to the Supreme Court. You probably have to go to the state courts first, but who knows anymore where the legal aspects of this are likely to take us.
Well, let's talk about that. The president last night, and this wasn't unexpected, the president last night said he won, that there's no way that Biden is going to make up the 600,000 votes, and he cast doubt on the legality of continuing to count the votes like there's something fraudulent about it. Those things are all false. So what basis would the president have for going to court? I mean, other than the, there's right now, other than those ballots that are marked after, that arrive after November 3rd. Other than that, which is already has been considered by the Supreme Court, but could be considered again. Other than that, what is there?
Correct. Well, they may find technical problems that occurred within the counting. What they did with the naked ballots, counties are not perfect. I mean, it looked like last night when the reports were coming out that, you know, there were some quirks here and some machines that didn't work and polls that got started late. I don't know if they would be the subject of legal suits. And there's another aspect of it, and that is whether election officials were contacting voters whose ballots may have been, I don't want to say mistakenly dropped off, rather that there's some problem with the ballot to come back to the polls. And that's another area that that the Trump campaign could argue is a violation of election law. And, you know, they'll find several more, trust me. At least the allegations, the charges, whether they work or not, is another matter.
Let's go to Carol in York. Carol, you're on the air.
Hi, this question is for Mr. Madonna. I would like to know if there's a category for the wealthy black person.
Well, are
voting
you talking
block of them?
So you're talking about demographics and how demographics are broken down.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
We hear all the time about poor black.
Yeah. Well, the exit polls. Yeah. The polls can certainly, you know, ask the race of the various participants in them, and we'll find out when we get, you know, some good exit polls, what the percentage of African Americans who voted in this state and who they voted for, what the percentages of the total and who they voted for. I mean, you could, the problem is we're talking about 10 or 11% of the electorate. You could try to then interview them and find out, you know, their income levels, but that's a relatively small sample in our state to make a determination. Again, African-Americans are usually 10, 11, 12%. And I want to wait to see the exit polls that are done after all the ballots are counted to get a better sense of that.
Yeah, it's a little too soon for that probably. Let's take another phone call now from Kathleen in Palmyra. Kathleen, you're on the air.
Hi, I have a question. Yesterday, a federal judge in Washington, D.C. ordered the post office to do a sweep and to deliver all ballots that it was holding to places in Pennsylvania and some other states. They were supposed to do it by the end of, initially it was 4:30, I believe, and then it was extended to the end of the day. And the post office said they just weren't going to do it. And I don't quite understand how they can do that, you know, defy a court order, especially on something with the receipt of ballots, which is so key. You know, Pennsylvania, as you alluded to, we have a receipt of ballot issue that's probably going to wind up in the Supreme Court. And one of the other states, Wisconsin or Michigan, they're not even allowed to if they arrive afterwards. And these are ballots that the post office was holding. So I'm just very confused about how the post office has the authority to do that. I'll hang up and take my answer off air. Thank you.
Terry, this is a story.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Of course, the post office is an independent branch of the federal government, and there's been suggestions all along that, you know, they weren't moving the ballots quickly enough, and that the postmaster general had made some cuts, which I thought were in the process of being reversed, cuts to the post office staff. But if they're delivered if they're delivered with a postmark as of November 3, I think that they're going to ultimately get counted. Again, in Pennsylvania, they have until Friday to count them. And then the Supreme Court of our state also said, you know, if there's no postmark on it, or, you know, if there's a delay, that these votes should be counted. So that's probably the best answer. that I can give. And, you know, that's potentially another source for a lawsuit, Scott. You know, another possibility of a lawsuit over that whole area of what votes were submitted on time, but weren't given, you know, the post office didn't deliver them. And they'll probably find some ballots next week somewhere in the process.
Well, that could seem to be a source for a suit by Democrats. I mean, as Carol had suggested, the federal judge ordered a sweep of these post offices to find ballots, and they just didn't do it. So that is defying a federal order's judge, a federal judge's order. So that could be, you know, a suit, depending on how this ends up. But all right, we're going to take more of your calls and talk with Sam Dunklaw of WITF's Capitol Reporter in just a moment about something else that Republicans in the state Senate were demanding last night. You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Welcome back to Smart Talk. This day after the election, Dr. G. Terry Madonna, Franklin and Marshall College political analyst and pollster, is with us today. If you're just tuning in, just waking up this morning, no, we don't know who the next president of the United States will be, whether it will be Donald Trump staying in office or Joe Biden, because Pennsylvania is one of several states where votes have not been totally counted, and it may be a few days before they are counted here in Pennsylvania. If you'd like to weigh in, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. On Twitter, we are at smarttalkwitf. Again, the phone number, 1-800-729-7532. Terry, we had a question from a listener, and this is one that we've addressed several times, but just want to update it. Caller wanted to know how it can be guaranteed that voters didn't vote twice, that they voted at the polls and then voted by mail. That was done at the polling place, where they will know at the polling place if someone has already voted by mail.
That's correct. And there's also, if there's a question about it, that they could be allowed to vote using a provisional ballot. And then, you know, that would be checked about whether they received the mail-in, you know, ballot or not. So that's the way they're handling it through. And what you're supposed to do is to bring in your mail-in ballot. And you were supposed to take it into the polling place so they could, you know, see it, and then allow you to vote provisionally. So it's complicated.
Yeah, but what happens is, if you went to the polling place and gave the poll worker, your name, they would know that you have been sent a ballot.
That's correct. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Whether you received a mail-in ballot and whether it was returned, that's exactly right.
All right. So around the country, Terry, were there any surprises in your mind? I mean, Florida, actually, I have to say, Florida went much bigger for President Trump than what I think many people expected, especially if you go by the polls. North Carolina was one that a state that the polls seemed to be saying that Biden had a lead. Doesn't look like that's going to hold. Surprises to you?
Yeah. Well, a couple of these states, you know, the polls showed were, you know, 1.5%, less than 1%. And I'm talking about, as you accurately point out, we got North Carolina, we have Arizona, and we have Florida in the mix. And in Florida, obviously, with 29 electoral votes, a big deal. All of the states are a big deal when you get this close. So what did we learn? Well, we learned that down in Miami-Dade area, heavily Democratic, the turnout wasn't anywhere near what Democrats expected. And it looks like, and we're going to have to wait until we get, you know, exit polls that are done after everything is completed, that showed Donald Trump doing pretty well with Cuban Americans. So there were reasons for it. And remember, Trump did win Florida, though narrowly, 4 years ago. And so I think he did better with certain demographic groups than he did 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I want to go to Sam Dunklaw, who is WITF's Capitol reporter. Now, Sam, thank you for joining us this morning. I know it was a late night for you. Did you get any sleep at all?
I did. 6.5, 7 hours.
That's good.
A couple times.
I turned over a couple times
with some of the feeds and different notifications I was getting, but yeah, a little bit.
All right. One of the reasons I wanted to have you on this morning was to talk about something that that came out of the state Senate last night. Jake Corman and Joe Scarnati, two of the leaders in the Republican-controlled state Senate, demanded the resignation of Kathy Buchvar, the Secretary of the Commonwealth or Secretary of State. What's behind that?
Yeah, so it looks like, at least as far as we know right now, both of these legislative leaders are a little bit upset about the guidance that the Department of State has issued regarding mail-in ballots. As you probably well know, Scott, in the later part of October, the initial guidance from the Department of State was to, and we're talking, remember, about mail-in ballots that come, that were postmarked on Election Day, but that come to county election offices by the Friday deadline of this week. Those ballots are supposed, initially, those ballots were supposed to have been put off to the side, and then just this past Sunday, Secretary Buchvar said, no, well, count them, but put them off to the side. And the reason that there's some confusion about what's going on there is because the U.S. Supreme Court has indicated that they might reconsider whether or not those votes can, in fact, be legally counted. So we're waiting to hear, and at least from what some of the on-the-ground reporting that I was doing in Lancaster County yesterday, they are one of the counties that is just waiting to hear if the Supreme Court is going to weigh in on that. And so the Senate GOP seemed to have played a political favor there and had said that this approach of how to handle mail-in ballots, at least on the part of the Department of State, was a scattershot approach, wholly inappropriate, a direct breach of Secretary Buchvar's position, and that they, as leaders, couldn't stand by and allow it to continue. So they called for her to resign a couple hours after polls closed. Governor Wolf responding a little after midnight, saying that he qualified it wholly as a partisan attack on Pennsylvania's elections, on the voting system, saying that the attack was an attempt to undermine confidence in the result of the election, and he pretty well dismissed it out of hand.
You were in Lancaster County yesterday, Sam, covering the races there. You just touched on this, but the Lancaster County commissioners said yesterday that they were going to wait for a Supreme Court decision before even counting the mail-in ballots that arrived after November 3rd. So, I mean, what's the latest on that? I mean, did they stick by that decision? And as you said, the Supreme Court has not definitively said they are going to make a ruling.
Correct. Yeah, it's I think, good to clarify for listeners that the Supreme Court has weighed in, or should I say they declined to weigh in, on the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court's ruling, saying that most of the changes that came to Pennsylvania's election code, including allowing ballots to be counted as long as they're postmarked by November 3rd, they allowed that ruling to stay in place. Now, some of the conservative justices on the court indicated in a separate opinion that after the election, depending on how things break out, they may weigh in additionally on this question of whether or not those ballots can be counted. So when I checked in with County Commissioner Ray DeAugustino late last night, he seemed to indicate that the county is going to stick by that decision, his reasoning being if we count those ballots now and the Supreme Court weighs in later on saying that, well, you really weren't supposed to do that, well, then we can't really retract those ballots. So the way that he and others are figuring, it's better to stay safe than sorry, and so they're putting them off to the side for now.
Sam Dunklaw is WITF's Capitol reporter. Sam, thank you very much for being with us this morning.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
Terry, that lone decision to wait, if other counties would do that, I mean, that could skew the results.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, and that's, you know, and given how close Pennsylvania is, it looks like it's going to get very close when the mail-ins are counted. That who knows where that will go? It's very complicated. And I think what we need to do is to figure out with mail-ins how we're going to deal with them and establish some firmer rules. And they'll be challenged in court, make no mistake about it. But the Republicans lost the big one, and that's the 3 days that the Pennsylvania Supreme Court allowed election officials to have until Friday of this week to finally finish the counting of the votes. And it looks like in some counties, it may take them 3 days. It doesn't mean that we won't be able to determine the outcome of the election, because it depends where the votes are and what's been counted in what counties, as you well know, because of the partisan nature of the vote in a whole variety of counties.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a phone call from Greg in York. Greg, you're on the air.
Hi, yeah. I was just calling to talk about these mail-in ballots and the Supreme Court decision. So from what I understand, and maybe Mr. Madonna could correct me if I'm wrong, but from what I understand, Pennsylvania, they decided not to decide anything. But there's another case in, I believe it was North Carolina, that they did allow mail-in ballots, as long as they were postmarked, to come in up to 9 days later.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And I'm just curious if that's going to affect anything.
Yeah, Terry, I, you know, when I first heard this, I was like, oh boy, 9 days after November 3rd, if it is so close and North Carolina is that close. But the caller is right. The Supreme Court did make that decision that it could be up to 9 days for ballots in North Carolina to arrive.
Well, I think what's going on is the court's deferring to state officials in terms of how they want to go through the process of counting. And remember, these are really aspects of voting are really decided at the state level. It's the state's responsibility, you know, as we do, to have an election code with all the rules and regulations that apply. And I think in most cases, the Supreme Court, any the courts will probably defer unless there's some, you know, violation of state law or violation of the U.S. Constitution. They're going to defer to state officials and let them conduct the elections in the way that they've prescribed.
Let's take a phone call from Scott in East Pennsboro. Scott, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. How are you guys?
Doing well.
Good.
Good. My question has more to do with the polling. I know for 2016 and 2020, in both instances, the polls seem to be off with Trump, a little less so with the midterms in 18. I was just kind of wondering, is this something that maybe has more to do with Trump himself actually being on the ballot, since the presidential ones were further off, or is this instance maybe where if we are in fact in a realignment, everything's still kind of jumbled and just trying to resettle into its proper camps, and that's why we're not really getting a good sense with some of these polls? I'll listen to the reply. Thank you.
All right, Scott, thank you for your call. And Terry, I did want to mention that as well. We don't know about Pennsylvania so far because we don't have the results. But Florida, you know, I checked 538. Florida polls were off. I mean, there's no way around it. I mean, they were anywhere from 5 to 7 points Biden up. Michigan, you know, again, it's not finished yet, but Michigan, Biden had a pretty substantial lead up to 10 points. Wisconsin, right, at 7 or 8 points. Maybe too soon to say they were wrong. But there were some polls around the country that didn't have it right. So what about that?
Yeah, well, obviously that's a question that, again, pollsters are going to have to respond to. In our state, when you take a look at the 5 or 6 sort of major pollsters or polling operations, the New York Times, Siena University, the Washington Post, ABC, Marquette University, Quinnipiac University, Chris Bork, I know you've interviewed Chris many times at Muhlenberg, and F&M poll, we were all literally within 3 or 4 points of each other, margin of error stuff, 4, 5, 6, 7. And we'll have to see what Trump, you know, what happens in our state, you know, what the final percentages are. But it looks to me like, just when you look at the votes that have come in for, and are not complete yet, we don't have the mail-ins. That's why we have to be careful. That Trump did exceptionally well in the rural and small towns in the heartland of our state, and also out in the Southwest and up in the Northeast, where if you get on the State Department of State website and look at the results, I mean, Trump was winning substantially there. Again, we don't have the mail in, so we have to be careful about that. But it could be that I'm not suggesting this definitively. I'm saying it could be that pollsters underestimated the enthusiasm of Trump voters, and the fact that new voters turned out that the Trump campaign sought out. And we know they were doing this. Voters that fit the profile of Trump's base, and they reached out to them. These are voters who didn't cast ballots in 2016, but now voted in 2020. But again, if there's going to have to be a reassessment. But you notice, as the caller accurately pointed out, go to 2018, and what did we see? The polls were back right on. You know, we had in the FNM, we had Governor Wolf and Governor Casey winning re-election by double digits. And guess what? That's what they did. Back in 2012, in the Obama re-election, we were right on again. And it could be something to do with, you know, with Trump, the enthusiasm of his base. And we knew from the turnouts and the focus on Pennsylvania, Trump rallies, and we'd say, well, they're not randomly selected. You can't tell just by the size of the of the rallies. But it's obvious that Trump had a huge amount of enthusiasm among his core voters.
Speaking of which, this coming from Kit, a listener says, I live in rural Pennsylvania, and as the polls put Biden ahead, the overwhelming number of Trump signs in the front yard and roadside fields drew into question, in my mind, the validity of the polls. Trump's lead in this year's election results should have not been a surprise in Pennsylvania. I mean, I have mentioned this to you before, that you drive through the center part of the state, you overwhelmingly see Trump signs and flags compared to Biden signs. I mean, I've always thought to myself, that's not a good gauge of where the state is. But is it? I mean, it was something you saw in 2016 as well, even more so this year. Is that an observation that how you can see enthusiasm for one candidate or another?
Well, yeah, it's not scientific, but I don't think you can rule it. I mean, you know what that told us? That the Trump base was very strong and enthusiastic. If you put a sign outside, you're pretty enthusiastic. I think you would agree. And I don't think there's any doubt that the polls showed that Trump would win the heartland, would win the Southwest, and win the Northeast. But here's the question. Not by the size of the victory, and again, I'm qualifying this, the Trump lead now without the mail-in ballots all being cast, and I think there's some 1.4 million the last time I looked, but again, it changes every by the minute of these uncounted mail-in ballots. And so I think they underestimated that, but I get your point. And the same could be said about the enthusiasm of the crowds. We weren't talking about hundreds of people at these rallies, were we?
No.
We were talking about thousands and thousands of people who waited hours and hours, which again shows the determination and the enthusiasm of the Trump base. And we might well have underestimated the strength of Trump in rural and small town Pennsylvania.
I saw a column by someone who traveled the country just a few weeks ago, and it was talking about the election in the swing states of Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. And one of the observations that this person had was this tremendous divide between rural and urban, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. I mean, I don't think that's a surprise, but as this columnist said, he was struck by just how much of a polarization there is, how much of a divide there is between urban, suburbs, and rural in our state and the other states.
Oh, no, you're right. That right on. I mean, I've been doing this since 1986, not polling, but doing what I do in terms of analysis and writing about politics and the presidency. And let me assure you, since we've had scientific polling, we've not been this divided as Americans. And you hit the nail on the head. Rural and small towns, basically, for the Republicans, for Trump. You go into urban and suburban America, urban and suburban Pennsylvania, and you got exactly the opposite with Biden, and the Democrats doing well. And the differences between Democrats and Republicans on almost every issue is profound. That's the word that I would use, profound. It's very, very hard to find things that they agree on. If you ask about handling coronavirus, you ought to see Trump handling it. You ought to see the differences between Democrats and Republicans. It's enormous. And you can go through a whole array. I don't care what issue you're going to look at. You're going to find huge differences.
You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Welcome back to Smart Talk. Our guest today is Franklin and Marshall College political analyst and pollster Dr. G. Terry Madonna, talking about yesterday's election and what we don't know. And there is a lot we don't know, including the presidential results in Pennsylvania. Terry, I did want to touch on a couple congressional races. One that was described as one of the most viewed or one that could possibly flip was here in South Central Pennsylvania between incumbent Republican Scott Perry and Eugene DePasquale, the Auditor General. Many people looked at that. And in fact, I think even Larry Sabato, University of Virginia, in his Looking Glass said lean Democratic at the end. Right now, it appears as if Scott Perry, he does have a big lead, and they're still waiting for the mail-in ballots in Cumberland County. And from what I understand, DePasquale would have to win almost all of those mail-in ballots to win that election. Surprise to you?
Well, top of the ticket. Look at the lead that Donald J. Trump has in York. Now, obviously, Dauphin County's Democratic. Cumberland County's going for Trump. So the fact of the matter is that, again, if you look at the top of the ticket and the straight party voting, that's what really hurt, I think. And the huge lead that Donald Trump has in York County, as you and I speak, again, mail-ins, as you accurately point in, not counted. And so that's the pattern. We see it, as I pointed out, in the row offices, attorney general, auditor general, and state treasurer, all not way out of line for how Biden is doing in the state, as you and I speak. So this is straight party voting. York County heavily for Donald J. Trump, and it figures out in the congressional races, as I pointed out. It looks like the Republicans could pick up a seat or two. Right now, it's 9-9, 9 Democrats, 9 Republicans. The Republicans have a lead also in the first congressional district. That's basically Bucks County. And they also lead in several other districts, like up in the 7th CD, which is in the Lehigh Valley. So we still don't know how they're going to turn out. But again, top of the ticket means a lot this year in what we're calling, what we could call a wave, if you get my point, a wave.
A red wave.
Yeah, in rural and small towns, you're exactly right, with Bucks County being the exception.
Well,
the southern part of...
Now, what I was going to say is again, this is kind of counter to what was expected by many pundits, many of the political experts going in, that there was supposedly this great anger against President Trump, and that the U.S. Senate could possibly flip to Democrats. Doesn't look like that's going to happen. That Democrats could pick up some seats in the U.S. House of Representatives. Actually, they're losing a few. Here in Pennsylvania, possibility of the House flipping, doesn't look like it's going to happen. Senate, not going to happen. So Republicans did very, very well. And it, as you said, it looks like President Trump, who was, you know, all these stories were written about the president weighing down the down ballot candidates, actually had coattails.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And that's something that, again, I think a lot of analysts found surprising. Remember what Nate Silver and Larry Sabato, and we've talked about those a good bit over the years. Remember, they gave Biden a huge percentage odds, a huge set of odds at winning not just the presidency, but control of the United States Senate. You're exactly right. And in our state, they had leading in the models that they developed and the polls that they were tracking. So you're absolutely right. Trump was not a burden on the ticket. I think the number of votes that he got, you know, he actually lifted Republican candidates up, and it looks like at all levels.
Yesterday's turnout was, from what I understand nationally, the highest since the 1880s, even maybe the 1890s. I'm not sure of that.
Right.
But the turnout was very high compared to 2016, especially. I mean, we were looking at like 66% of voters turning out. Here in Pennsylvania, anecdotally, and, you know, again, we'll find this out from the exit polls later of who voted and who did it, but who didn't. But anecdotally, was hearing yesterday from a lot of poll watchers, a lot of people, or poll workers, I should say, a lot of people saying that, you know, there were long lines. People were waiting in line for hours, and there were a lot of young people voting. And that would seem to favor Joe Biden over President Trump. But again, from those people who voted in person, it appears that the Trump voters really came out in force in person.
Oh, no. That's I think at least that is what we primarily expected. The estimate a couple weeks ago, Scott, was that 150 million Americans would turn out to vote. That would be about 65% of the eligible voters. And at the time, people were saying, oh, we'd have to go back to 1908 when 65.4% of eligible voters turned out. Back in 2016, 56% of eligible voters turned out. And now, as you accurately point out, we're going to have to go back to the 19th century to find another turnout, you know, in the range of the turnout that we saw yesterday. And yeah, we're going to have to wait until all the mail-ins are counted to get a better sense of what the total turnout is. But there's no doubt that it's set new heights. And again, that shows you the polarization, the partisanship, the intensity that the candidates show, you know, that the voters had for the candidates. And what's surprising about this is more Republicans said they were going to vote for Trump as opposed to Biden. The converse is true for Biden, where more people said they were going to vote against Trump, Democrats who were going to vote, or voters, people who were going to vote for Biden said that, as opposed to for Biden. So it shows you how deeply ingrained this animosity is. There's just no doubt about it.
Well, I saw there's a few of the network's exit polls yesterday asking about the most important issue. Defeating the coronavirus was right up there at the top, followed closely, very closely, by the economy. you know, even in some states that went for Trump overwhelmingly, the coronavirus was the number one issue, but it was followed closely by the economy. I just got an email from a listener who said that he worked in the polls yesterday and was astounded by the number of people who came to vote not wearing masks. And those that did, wearing masks that had Trump stenciled on the front of their mask. So there are a couple things there. One is, are there enough people taking this seriously? Is it divided along political lines? And, you know, are Trump voters, again, it shows the enthusiasm for the Trump voters that even came in with their mask and had Trump stenciled on the front of their mask.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I don't, it's hard to know what that means exactly from, you know, relatively, you know, from one or two accounts. But obviously more Trump people voted in person, and it does show you. And remember what Trump said. He said, mail in, fraud, right? He repeated that over and over again, and he urged his voters in Pennsylvania to vote in person. Now he took a different position down in Florida, where he even voted by mail. But there isn't any doubt that I think Pennsylvania, the Trump supporters were taking their lead from the president of the United States, who told them to go and vote in person. And obviously more Republican, I won't say Republicans, I'll just say more Trump voters went ahead and did that. And that's what we saw yesterday.
Terry, we only have a few minutes left. You know, I heard it before the election, and I'm sure we're going to hear some people say this in the next few days, that Pennsylvania has potential to be the Florida of 2000. Is that an exaggeration, or is that a possibility?
Oh, no. I think it's a real possibility. And I mean, remember what we're talking about. Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, North Carolina, Florida, and Wisconsin. Florida, we'll have to see if there's a recount there and what happens. I think Trump's leads is big enough so that it won't matter. But I don't think there's any doubt that we could ultimately decide which candidate gets the 270 electoral votes. And I'm particularly going to pay attention to Michigan, Wisconsin, and our state. These are states that literally helped deliver 270, actually, I need to say the exact number, 304 electoral votes to Trump back in 2016. So you're right on about that. We could be decisive before it's over.
And right now, as of right now, it appears that Joe Biden has a lead in Wisconsin. President Trump leading in Michigan, even though, you know, the caveat there is that Detroit, that Wayne County has not reported, and that's where most of the votes in Michigan are. And at last count, Biden was leading like 18-1 in that county. So, you know, that could flip around pretty easily. Here in Pennsylvania, just to update everyone, latest count we had was that Pennsylvania, that Trump was leading Biden by 600,000 votes, but there still were 1.4 million mail-in ballots to be counted. And most of them coming from Philadelphia, Allegheny County, and the Philadelphia suburbs, which, you know, we've heard all along that those probably would favor or support Joe Biden. If there are enough votes there, that's the big question, but it could be Friday.
Yeah. No, you're on to something. Is there enough votes left? The last number I saw, and again, as I keep repeating, it changes by the minute, 1.4 million uncounted ballots. And given Trump's lead in this state, 11 points, Biden is really going to have to win a huge percentage of them in order to carry the state of Pennsylvania. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Franklin Marshall College political analyst and pollster, Dr. Jerry Madonna. Dr. Madonna, as always, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
WITF's election coverage is supported by the law firm of Saul Ewing, Arnstein, and Lear.